Hello, and welcome to Connecting You to You Radio, where we tune in to receive the messages of health and well-being that are being broadcast from the soul. I'm your host, Lisa Warner, author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. I show you how to heal your body naturally by combining your body's innate intelligence with the wisdom of your own soul, so that you can break through the mental programming of limiting beliefs that cause disease and make healing your body and changing your life simple. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Soul Stories. I'm your host, Lisa Warner. I'm the author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. And we have soul stories because every soul has a story. And the more we share our stories, the more we realize that we are far more similar than we are different. And today I am excited to introduce you to my friend, Kathy Hocum. She is a life coach, and she's going to tell us about her life today. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's amazing to be here. I'm just so pleased that you asked.
Oh, well, I'm excited to hear your story. So tell us, what is your story?
Well, I grew up in a home where my mother lost a child. She had two girls and then had a boy, and the boy passed away before he was three. So in order to get my mom out of her depression at that time, the doctor suggested she have more children. So she had two more kids. So mentally, it was a challenge growing up. She had my brother and then myself, and her trying to work through her grief as she was trying to raise us. And my oldest sister and my second oldest sister are 15 and 13 years older than I am. So there's a big gap.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of like them having two families growing up. And we were from a strict Baptist church, and I grew up in that way and kind of in a fearing God way. So my journey has been to find a life that I love living, and to try and see God as a positive person in my life that loves me and, you know, that wants the best for everyone out there. And I believe that I've been put on this earth to help people find that as well. So I have, yes. So my brother that was 2.5 years older than I did, he passed away when he was 38. So we've had a lot of loss in our life. And my mom's had breast cancer 4 times. I have had breast cancer as well, and went through the Western medical traditional world of going through, you know, surgery, chemo, radiation, all of that, and found that after I did that, I didn't know what to do with myself. I knew there was something better out there for me. I knew that I was put on this earth for something different. And so my search really began. I'd done a bit of searching and a bit of studying before that, but that's when I really dug in to, you know, what this world really has to offer, and realized that it's up to me to make the choice in my life to live a life I love, right? And to make myself happy and to be able to grow from my experiences. I was sexually abused as a teenager. I was in my first my marriage was abusive mentally and emotionally, and I've come out of all of that, and I'm a stronger person for it. And just trying to keep on the vibration of love and joy and peace and a high vibration and trying to, you know, just better this world and help people realize that there is a choice out there and that there is something better in this world to live. So I've just been, you know, keep studying and different things. Right now I'm in a program for learning the 13 chakras. Yes. And expanding my awareness in that way. And I also am taking transcendence. It's a conscious dance that you do. It has 10 stages to it. And I'm doing the facilitator training so that I can have classes and I can bring that into my practice with my clients. And it's a very opening emotional dance where you work through the things that you're dealing with at the moment in your body, and you dance to the music as you feel like it. There's no judgment. You can sit in a chair and do it. You can do it with your mind. You can get up and physically do it. And you just feel so amazing after. Like, it's just so refreshing and so free that it's a something that was created by Joy Jimenez of the Brave Thinking Institute. She was a professional dancer, and she went through her life and used to abuse her body. And now she loves her body, and she's created this dance that everyone can do. So it's open to everyone. There's no choreography, you know, no steps to have to follow. You just follow your heart, follow your body. Your body's your guide. So
isn't that amazing? Our bodies are so intelligent, and when we listen to them, they literally can guide us through life. I love this concept.
Yes, they can definitely guide us through life. And talking with you as well, I had another scare with breast cancer, and then I there's, you know, my choice isn't Western medicine if this occurs again, but I did, you know, start block therapy that Gwen and you had suggested, and I'm doing block therapy every day, and it's a actual laying on a block, as you know, right?
Yes, and I have one right behind my back today, as a matter of fact. So block therapy has been phenomenal.
Yes, because it takes breaks down the fascia that you have in your body to create your posture properly. And I ended up with 11 shadows in my right breast. And within a month, it took it down to one. So that was amazing. And just following and allowing my body to do what it needs to do naturally instead of trying to force it, you know, and cut it and take pieces out of it. So, but so I've had quite a long history in life, and each one has been a journey on its own. And I still, everybody, every day is working through things. And as you get through one layer, then another layer comes up. So a prayer portal of people that, you know, keep us positive every day, keep us going, help our dreams come true. And it's helps in order to keep you on track every day, because you go into the loom each and every day for a couple of minutes, and you become such good friends with such amazing souls that, you know, most of them you've never met in person because you do it all online. And, you know, but it allows for all kinds of friendships and all kinds of, you know, connections out there. So, yes. Yeah. And I stay in the study as well, just with my coaching business is through, like, I'm called a life mastery consultant. Technically, that's how I'm certified. And I offer programs, different programs. And the first one is Dream Builder, and it's through the Brave Thinking Institute. So I stay in that study as well and continue to make my dreams come true as well. I now live where I can see the water. I get to wake up to the sunrise every morning over the water and to the sunset sitting on my couch every night. So I am so thankful, so grateful for each and every day here.
Wow. And isn't it amazing just need to... on the water and that calming effect that it can have?
Yes, I'm definitely a water baby.
Me too. I love that.
Yes, the water is just anytime I feel upset or, you know, we're trying to work through something, all I have to do is sit and watch and look out at the water. Now it's mostly frozen, but I'm on the Ottawa River, so in Pembroke, Ontario, so it does have a current, so it's not totally frozen at this time.
Wow. So is that where you grew up?
I grew up close to here, yes. And it's a little town called Killaloe. Has had 680 people when I grew up.
Wow.
I think it's actually down to about 600, although over COVID it might have grown because a lot of places sold because everyone was moving out of the cities into the country. So there's been some growth there. And my mom is here. So I lived in Peterborough, actually, most of my life, all my adult life, until about 2 years ago. And I've moved here now, just my mom is in a retirement home and just helping her out and, you know, spending some quality time with her since I was away most of my adult years, and just enjoying the time that I have with her. And, you know, she still is in fairly good health. She still has her mind, and, you know, so we get to see each other regularly, and I do her laundry and her shopping for her, and, you know, those kinds of things in order to help her out and, you know, just to feel part of it again.
Nice. So what was it like growing up in such a small town?
It had its positive and its negatives in a small town. Yeah. Everybody knew everything about you. There was no hiding anything in a small town. You knew everyone practically that you met. My family had a business, so we employed a lot of the town, and so that was both good and bad because people judged you for who you were when they didn't know you. So that was a little tricky. And my family was one that when I grew up, that all that mattered is what people thought of you. It didn't matter what was happening, what was real, what was true. You know, there were certain places you could park, for instance, certain places you couldn't park because people might get the wrong idea. You know, if you were parked close to some place that, you know, wasn't part of, wouldn't be seen in the best of light. So, yeah, it was a very strict, kind of old fashioned upbringing because my parents were older, they'd already, you know, had a family and then decided to have more. And and my father being in business, of course, you know, had to be seen in a certain light as well. So, yeah, it was, I couldn't wait to get away, to be honest, to spread my wings and fly on my own. And so I went to college in Peterborough and took business administration information systems. And I was a programmer analyst for a lot of my working years. And I transitioned into a business analyst then and helping people, helping to configure the computer system so that people could use it to the best of their ability to help them ease their way through the system instead of being on the back end and programming. And in programming, I was definitely too much of an extrovert to sit in an area that was very, very quiet most of the time, that you could hear a pin drop. So the business analyst suited me much better because I got to work with people every day. I was around people and I just loved doing that and being able to help people in any way. So I've always been a helper. I've always tried to do my best for everybody that I know, and it just gives me joy to do that.
Beautiful. So what were some of the things that you liked to do when you were growing up? What was there to do?
Well, in the winter, we snowmobiled a lot. We definitely, that was our, we could get our license at 12. So we hopped on the snow machines and that was our transportation. We skated, we had a rink and did a lot of skating and played broomball. And in the summertime, we had a cottage that we went to that was my peaceful place. Nice. My parents weren't stressed there like they were in everyday business. So being at the lake was such a joy. Plus being, I mean, you're on the water. So, you know, how can you go wrong with that? That quiets everybody, you know, and fond memories of growing up there and just having friends and being able to laugh and play games. And, you know, we would feed the squirrels and try and tame them, you know, with peanuts and have them climb up our legs. And the chipmunks were way easier than squirrels were. My brother was amazing having, you know, being able to do that with them because he could sit much longer than I could. Yeah. And as we got older, there was, you know, we'd have boating and do water skiing. So, but my brother-in-law's like to dump you. So the water skiing didn't live long. Because they like to scare you. So they kind of ruined that. But
yeah, right? Oh, my.
Yeah, they thought it was funny. So it's funny to a point until you get hurt.
Yeah.
And then it's not so funny anymore. But I did a lot of spotting in the boat because he always had to have a spotter sitting at the back watching the skier. So I did a lot of that growing up, even from a young age. And the cottage was our family place. And when we grew older, we had our Christmases at the cottage because we winterized it. And we had the whole family put another bathroom in, put some bedrooms in the basement. And then we had our whole family come with their children. And because my oldest nephew is only 4 years younger than I am. So it was a fun time. Everyone would gather at the cottage, and it's the only time we had pretty much everyone together, and especially like overnight and, you know, playing games and enjoying that time. And that was, you know, had everyone got along and it was a wonderful time. And, you know, we just could relax with each other and enjoy the moments together. And, the cooking and, you know, having the wonderful meals and just being able to really get to know each other, because, you know, how you live your separate lives and everyone's kind of doing their own thing and they're busy with kids. And so that was a time for togetherness and to just enjoy one another's company.
Doesn't it seem like that's the way life just really should be, like all the time? Where we are,
it sure does.
Living our lives, just being, and you know, no stress, being happy, living in nature, and you know, just exploring and being. And
yes, yes, it sure does. It, and I think that's why I enjoyed the cottage so much, because we did that up there. We went for walks. We went through the bush. We would, you know, we had a three-wheeler at one point, so we'd go on rides and, you know, go see nature. We'd watch for the turtles laying their eggs by the creek and, you know, just, you know, one time we got to see them being born as they came out, the wee little turtles. So, yeah, so it was amazing. And then all the wildlife, right? Just to be able to see the deer and, you know, the odd fox. And we used to go sit at the dump actually at night sometimes and watch for the bears to come out. Yeah. So yeah, nature is amazing how it works and, you know, how things, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just lights you up every time you see one of God's creatures that are, you know, out there. And just to think of all the different kinds and, you know, all the different ways that they, you know, are able to live their life with, you know, what's given to them on this earth, right?
Exactly.
They have, you know, no money. They're not like us where we purchase things, buy things. They have to, you know, they find everything that they need.
Exactly. Just in nature. Everything is provided already. Like everything that they need was already thought of by Creator itself.
Yes.
It's like mankind is the only one that has like turned around and gone in the opposite direction instead of living in peace and harmony with everything around. It's like, well, let's see if we can make money and, you know, control other people. And yes, hasn't worked out all that well for mankind or the earth.
No. No, we've seen that. And we've seen that with, you know, so many things in this world. So all we can do is our piece to, you know, try and bring it back to, yes, you know, the way it was and thinking and living our lives to the best of our abilities.
Exactly. That connection, that reconnection to nature is so key to the whole process. To be able to reconnect to nature, it's the ability to reconnect to the truth of who we are.
Yes, for sure. As you connect to the elements, you know, you go through fire and air and earth and water and then into the ethers. So it really helps you connect back into nature every day and to live through your elements and to expand your thinking, expand your consciousness and, you know, and connect with amazing people that are doing the same thing. So
exactly.
It's just very supportive. It supports you as you go through your ups and downs in life. And it's, it's been a godsend for me, moving to a new, you know, kind of a new place. And I haven't been here in 36 years. So yeah, most of the people that I, you know, hung out with or friends that I had are, you know, have moved on and moved into other places, or we haven't connected in years. So it was quite the adjustment for me, and having a group of people that I chat with every day and meet once a week was truly amazing for me, as well as being part of my, you know, into my studies and into clients, having clients and, you know, helping them helps me. So.
Exactly. So how did you get into life coaching?
After my breast cancer, I was searching for things and I found Mary Morrissey, and she truly lives a life that she loves, and she's created many things in her life. And just listening to her story, it inspired me. And she definitely, you know, puts the universe, God, whatever you believe in, there's no, you know, spirit, and has them, you know, teaches that they, that you are meant to live a life that you love. Your longing and your discontent that you feel in life is there for a reason, and it's to help you grow as a person. And I think that was the first time that I really saw that as a positive thing. And I wanted to learn more about that. So as I dove in and dug in, and I, you know, went through her Dream Builder program and went into Brave Thinking Masters with her, it just became a natural that I would become a coach with them, and that I would help other people learn to live a life that they truly loved, whatever that may be. It could be big dreams, it could be little dreams, right? But whatever makes each individual person happy. And the thing we find today is everybody is going at 110, and they, you know, they don't think about what they'd really love. They're just in this cycle of going and going around and around, you know, like a hamster in the wheel. And they're not, you know, they need to take time and in order to fill themselves up first, in order to share with others and to be part of, you know, to help their children or help, you know, their friends and their family. Most of us, you know, at that point, I was coming from an empty place trying to do that. Mm-hmm. And it gets really hard when you're doing that all the time. You end up in burnout because you're giving from an empty cup, you know, and it's also not a, you know, it's not a positive way of giving either, because there's nothing there, right? So you have to learn to fill your cup up first and follow your dreams first. And in that, it changes everybody's lives around you. Like everyone that you interact with, everyone that, you know, you come in contact with, it's a totally, total change. So I decided to be certified by them in order to be able to teach their programs to others and to help others and to help breast cancer survivors, you know, when they're at that point in their stage where they're finished everything, but what next? Mm-hmm. I think you always find when you go through that Western experience in the medical field, it takes so much out of you, and you're, you know, you're left with nothing, emptiness, and you just know that there's something more out there, and you want to live a bigger, fuller, better life for yourself. And you need to stop and, you know, kind of think about, you know, what is it I'd really love? What would I love to do? Where would I love to live? How would I love my health to be? How would I love my love and relationship area to be? What, you know, my vocation, you know, at that point. I did love what I was doing to a point, and then I didn't love it. It was sucking the life out of me in that job. I ended up being a workaholic most of my life, and because it did give me joy to a degree, like it gave me satisfaction to see things completed, to see people, you know, being able to use different things and, you know, to be able to help them in their work. And then it just became part, you know, management changed over the years and the structure changed and it became a fight all the time, you know, and you couldn't do the things that you knew would help the people the most. You had to do what management wanted you to do the most. And when you're there for so long, have worked in that place and have seen all the cycles that they've gone through to go back through the cycles that haven't worked wasn't really a fun thing to do.
Imagine that.
But they always thought it would be different this time, you know, this time it might work. Mm-hmm. So
we still ended up that out in society, right?
Yes. And you can just see it through and through, right? They reorganize an organization and reorganize it, and it ends up back where it was before. So, you know, it's not the organization of the institute. It's, you know, how you're leading the institute. And over the years that I worked, I could just the person, the president at the top, makes all the difference, because they affect the people under them, who affect the people under them. And eventually it comes right down to the bottom, you know, person in the totem pole. And the whole place works in that way. They have that feeling, like it's really hard to stay in that positive place when you're working in a place that has, you know, a very negative connotation, that, you know, is not people oriented and is just looking at the bottom line of things. And I know that they pay for your labor, but you get, you know, more flies with sugar than you do, you know, with water or with vinegar. So you definitely want to be able to support them and help them grow. And that's the type of environment it was at one point. We had a counselor as the president of the company that I worked for. And it was an amazing place. He actually hugged you when you walked in the door if he was anywhere around you. So, yeah. So it was an amazing place for many years to work. And then actually my breast cancer, I know, was brought on by stress. It was the stress of working and just the environment, because I cared about the environment. I was the union vice president of the union, and then the union president, and just trying to help the individuals that were having issues. And, you know, it just became too much for me, because I internalized it and took it to heart. And I really believe that that's, you know, why my body was crying out to me to stop and was telling me that I needed to look after myself and not everyone else at that point in my life, and to be able to, you know, stop, and that there's something better out there. There's a better way to do things than to fight all the time. You know, that was a very, you know, that was the mentality, that you had to fight for it. But life can be easy, you know, it's as easy as we make it. And the only thing that we can control is how we react to things and how we feel inside of ourselves and how we deal with things. And there's absolute good in everything that we go through, whether we know what it is at the time, but it's actually taking us down the path that we're meant to live in our life. So it's being able to look at it in a different way. And I have become such a better person and a different person in the last 10 years than I ever was. And being able to handle the things that come up in life and in a calm and loving manner, so that, you know, I don't work myself up. The stress level doesn't go near as high. Of course, things stress me out at times. I mean, they do everybody, but we just get to live and in this amazing place called Earth, right? That has all of these amazing creatures in it that we get to see and we get to watch. And, you know, just watching the birds flutter and fly, just and chatter with each other, and the squirrels climbing, you know, up the trees, and being able to, you know, give them a peanut and watch what they do with it is, you know, it just calms me and fascinates me, and all the different, you know, things that we get to just become a part of. And the air that we breathe, even the air that we breathe, you know, I know there's lots of things in the air compared to what it used to be that aren't so great to breathe, but just having that fresh air to go out and, you know, breathe in and enjoy is a privilege. So.
Exactly. Isn't it amazing when we think about how this earth has been designed as a paradise? Like all of the plants, all of the animals, everything we need is right here. And unfortunately for mankind, man has decided to not live in harmony with nature. And instead of just having everything provided for free from nature itself, now we're trying to buy all of the things that would normally be free. A lot of stress involved in that.
There is a lot of stress involved in that.
Right? And we wonder why we're sick. You know, I love the fact that you said, you know, my body was telling me that there's something else. My body was telling me that I needed to go in a different direction. And I think that's such wise, you know, like wise intuition that, you know, our bodies are so incredibly intelligent, and our bodies are always on our side. Our bodies are always sending us messages. But we've all been told that the messages are, hey, you're being attacked by cancer. There's something wrong with you. And unfortunately, most people listen to that message rather than the actual message that their body is sending them.
Yes, for sure. Like the first, when I got it, I thought, what did I do to deserve this? Right. That was my childhood thinking, you know, because
that's the message that we're all sent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's hard to get past those messages in your head.
Yeah. That programming runs deep. We hear it over and over and over and over. And it digs such a deep rut in our consciousness that we just keep running around and around the same rut. And we don't really take the time, most people don't take the time to just stop and start to really tune in and discover what's actually happening here. That was my experience when I started, you know, found myself facing cancer. It was like, whoa, wait a second. I don't want to go the medical route.
No, and you know, in my experience with it, they didn't give you a chance to even stop to think, because they were constantly, you know, they want to deal with it as soon as possible, which in one instance is fantastic that they want to get you in and out and do it. But at another way, you know, I didn't have time to research or to think, to make a different decision for myself. Exactly. You know, this time when I had, you know, something showed, I have had more time to think about it. I have had people like you I can connect with, and like others that I've met that I can connect with, and learn that my body is just, you know, processing and doing the things that it needs to do. And in some cases, telling me that I need to change things in my life, you know? And I think that that's one thing that we need to learn to listen to. And we don't listen to it enough. That if your body is sore in some area or hurts or is causing anything, you know, you need to sit and listen to what it's telling you and things that you need to change in your life. And possibly, or something, you know, do something different. And it leads you in all kinds of different directions that are amazing. You meet such amazing people that way, you know, and you just get to be in awe of how well your body works for itself and how amazing, you know, other people in this world are. It's not all of the politicians and all of the people that you see on TV. It, you know, you get to choose who you want to be around and choose the being around other light workers and being around other people that, you know, hold you up instead of tearing you down. And just not that, you know, you don't have to, you have to be around some of those people, but you, for the most part, you get to choose who you get to share your life with, because it's a choice in our life of who we want to be around and, you know, who we choose to spend our time with, because our time is our most precious commodity. It's the one thing that, you know, we have that we can share, choose to share or choose not to share with others. And we control our time for ourselves and for what we want to do in this world and what we want to do in this life. And most people, you know, live 365 days a year. Everyone lives 365 days a year, but some do it by design and some just do it by rote. So at the end of those 365 days, they're doing the same thing they did the last 365 days. And they can do that for 90 years. Right. But, you know, what do they regret most when they get to the end, when they put their pillow or their head on the pillow for the last time, is they regret what they didn't do in their life. You know, what we didn't do, what we, you know, felt like we didn't have the courage or the money or the, you know, and we can do anything we set our minds to do. The money will follow, the things will come. You know, we just have to take a baby step towards what it is that we want to do, because baby steps will take you up Mount Everest. You just have to keep walking those baby steps and it will take you where you want to go.
Exactly. It's so amazing to really just see how humanity has gone so far off the rails. But now we're watching everything come back into alignment. And we're starting to see people waking up to just what you're saying. It's like, wait a second. I'm not digging this life that I'm living of stress and doing the same thing day after day after day. I actually am a grand creator. I can create something completely different.
Exactly. And I think in some ways, COVID has sort of opened a lot of people's eyes to that when everything was shut down, right? Mm-hmm. And they realized that the world didn't fall apart.
And actually started healing itself. When the skies started clearing, the waters started clearing, when we weren't out there polluting everything.
Yes. You know, and like I said, everything happens for a reason. I think that awakened a lot of people in that time where they spent the time at home, they spent the time with their families, you know, they got to reassess their life at that point and slow down, right? It slowed us down to, you know, instead of doing 110 or 120, we could actually breathe for a change in our life. We had to switch gears and in our working methods and things like that, but it still allowed so many people to realize that they didn't want to be part of what was going on in the world. Exactly. And they wanted to find a better, you know, a better way to live their life and a more fulfilling way to live their life. And they noticed that they were missing out on so much in, you know, their lives by doing the, you know, the day in, day out stressed work that they do every single day, you know. And yeah, some people enjoy it like I did for years and years. It gave me life. It gave me joy, you know. And then there comes a time where maybe it doesn't anymore. Maybe that's not, you know, wasn't one of the reasons you were put on the earth to do and to try and find that, you know, what it is that you're meant to be here to do, to have and to enjoy. So.
Exactly. And it gave a lot of people pause to take a look around and like see what's actually going on. And it's like, wait a second, what's really happening here? Because something does not feel right. And it really started to expose, you know, the powers that be, and people started to see why everything is so messed up, why we are doing what we're doing, and kind of who's behind a lot of these things that are just so completely off kilter.
Yes, it sure did. And just to, you know, just even with your food, you know, and how that, you know, the supply and demand worked for that. You know, people had to realize that, you know, you never know when it's not going to be there, just handy and ready for you to grab it, that maybe you need to think of different ways of, you know, feeding yourself and yes. your family, and, you know, that there are better ways, and that countries need to be more self-sufficient instead of, you know, importing all of that stuff too, and growing it in a healthier way.
Yeah, and that we each have to be more self-sufficient, you know, to be yes. able to grow our own food so that we know where it's coming from. Like, that yes, we know that it's exactly. actually from nature, not from some laboratory somewhere. You know, it's incredible, you know, to see the corruption in the food supply. You know, we wonder why our bodies mm-hmm. are struggling so much. You know, we've got yes. air that's not healthy. We've got foods that aren't healthy. We've got water that's not healthy. And then mm-hmm. we wonder why we're not healthy.
Like, yes, it's really exactly.
the greater people.
Yeah, but now it's to fix it all, right?
Right. And but my view on it is that it will be far faster to fix it all than it was to have it, you know, corrupt, because it's when we go back to our natural state of being, and, you know, what's natural for us is natural. It's easy. It's simple. So mm-hmm. if we move back into what's natural for us, you know, fixing all of this other stuff will just become like an organic process.
Right. Yes. And that'd be amazing to get back to that.
Exactly. And it goes back mm-hmm. to what you're talking about with the cottage and being able to be out in nature, be with the wildlife, be one with nature where there isn't any stress. And, you know, when we're living in nature and growing food, we can feed ourselves pretty much for free with all the things that grow outside. We can make our own gardens, and we can start to take more command of our lives.
Yes, and make sure that the soil that we're growing our stuff in is, you know, healthy soil to grow it in. And, you know, the use, not using the pesticides and the, you know, all of the additives that they put into things that we're putting through our bodies, that, you know, our bodies are trying to expel in different ways. Mm-hmm. So that's... Exactly. Yeah. But again, it's our choice in our lives, right? It's that choice that we decide to make. It's a decision that we make to, you know, go forward in which way. And everybody has to make whatever that choice is for themselves. Yeah. And then to follow that dream wherever it may take them, wherever it leads. And the person that you become in doing so is just amazing. And you learn to fall in love with yourself, you know, if you haven't. And I didn't, you know, I realized at one point I hated myself. I hated who I was.
Yeah.
You know, I hated, you know, things I said that, you know, when I was raising my children that I'd never do or didn't do. And now I really wish I could raise them all over again in a whole different light because... You know, I was a workaholic. I worked. I wasn't home with them as much as I should have been or would have loved to have been. You know, the mother that I pictured in my head that I wanted to be when I was younger wasn't the mother that I was. Mm. So, you know, but all we can do is learn from our experiences and take that forward and hopefully that will, you know, give them some of that knowledge, and hopefully they'll raise their children differently as they go forward. And one of my goals too is to help abused women. As I said, I've had that experience in my life and had to do a lot of work to get past a lot of that hurt and abuse. And I want to help other women get past that in their life and realize that there is a life out there that they love, that they can control instead of someone trying to control them. And then they can break the cycle with their children and to change, you know, help their children realize that there's a better world out there for them as well. So that's one of my big passions that I have in this world, is to help abused women, you know, see a different life for themselves, see that world out there that, you know, is shining and sparkling for them, just to take a hold of it and just to run with it and just to have the power back for themselves. You know, they've given up that power. When you're in those relationships, you give it up little by little until you don't realize that it's all gone. Yeah. It's all pretty much gone. And then, you know, to just get it back as it comes and to get past that point, right? Because you can't wallow in that or sit in it. You know, yes, it was horrible. Yes, it was awful. And it was an experience that you should have never had to go through. But it's made you stronger. You can grow from that. And you can create a life that is truly amazing after all of that as well, you know? And it's all a choice to us. We have to make that decision that we want a different life and that we want a better life. And we want a better life for our children. We don't want this cycle to continue. We want to move on and make the world a better place to live.
Oh, indeed. I'm so inspired to hear you say that, because I lost a family member to abuse. And, you know, it's just such a tragedy to have such a bright light be extinguished because of domestic violence and abuse. Mm-hmm. So
it sure, yes, it sure is. It's yeah.
So it is a need people like you to be out there and helping other women.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just, yeah, to give them that hope and that light. It's, you know, I can just see the lights come on in their eyes again, you know, from that dead look, from that nothing look. And, you know, to start to get a little twinkle in their eye again and, you know, start to realize that, you know, they are worth it. Mm-hmm. They are worth it and they are worthy and they can do it. They don't need anybody else to help them do it, that they can do it themselves, you know, and that they can just take little steps, you know, little steps. And it makes a big difference. You don't see it right away, but it makes a huge difference as they continue to grow. And, you know, and we need all of those lights in this world.
Yes, we do. We need all of the lights. Oh, my goodness, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and it's just wonderful to be able to keep expanding those lights.
Yes. Ah, I love it. That's one of my favorite things, is just to like see that light come back on, see those light bulb moments when it's like, oh,
yes.
Isn't that amazing? Ah, I love it.
Oh my, I love God. Having those light bulb moments, right? Too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to sit quiet and listen in order to hear those light bulb moments.
Yes. That's the key right there. So many people, you know, we're just so conditioned to give our power away, to go ask the expert, find out what to do. I better find out what to do. So we go ask somebody else what we should do, rather than sitting quietly and tuning in to get guidance from source to find out, you know, what the soul, what does the soul say that I should do? What is my higher intelligence telling me that I can do? So I'm glad that you're out there helping people to tune back in to their higher intelligence and to realize that they have the power to make themselves happy. They have the power
to change lives. Change theirs and others out there.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you look back on your life so far, what do you think are the biggest things that you've learned?
To listen within, to sit still, you know, to be calm and to know that there is good in everything that comes through, even though you don't know it at the time, but there is good. There is good for yourself, or maybe it's good for others. You've gone through this to help someone else in a lot of cases, right? You've gone through it to make you stronger, to help you realize, like, we get those longings and those discontents in our lives to help us grow, to make, you know, want us to reach a different level, you know, not to just be content at where we sit, but to always keep reaching for something different and to keep, you know, coming up against those walls is a good thing, you know, that fear and that, you know, those blockages that we have are there to teach us and to help us to become a different and better person. And sometimes you just need someone to help you through there, to help you get to that other side. And it's always wonderful to have, you know, people around you and people surrounding you to be able to help you do those things. And, you know, I know you can do it on your own, but it's so much easier when you have help and you have people who love you and surround you and cheer you on, you know, just let's go, girl, you know, let's go and let's make this happen for you. And, you know, just keep moving ahead, you know, instead of, you know, 5 steps back and 2 forward, let's do 5 steps forward and 2 back. So. You know, it's not always success in the first round, but you got to keep going. So.
Exactly. And where do you see your life heading? What do you see in your future?
Oh, I see enjoying nature more. I see enjoying the water, especially for me. The water is a big part of my life. Big calming. I see helping lots of women, you know, lots of people start living the lives that they truly love living. And that's my passion, is to help people to be able to do that. And it makes me happy. You know, that's what fills my soul and fills my heart, and is helping others and just giving them a bit of what I've discovered in my life. And you know, some of it's easy, some of it's hard. It's not always easy, but just to take those steps forward. And I see myself, you know, being able to vacation places, like I've been doing different trips and seeing different parts of this beautiful world and the aqua blue water that's part of the, you know, Pacific Ocean is just, I can just sit there for days and just look at that water, you know, that color and that beauty, and just being able to do that traveling and to have the time and money freedom to be able to do that stuff is just amazing. It's beautiful. And I am so grateful for each and every day that I have on this earth in order to be able to help others and to be able to help myself, you know, and to meet amazing people and spend time with them and gather their knowledge and their interests and just grow as a person, because we weren't meant to be on this earth and not grow, right? We're here to grow. And I think people forget that after a while, that, you know, and just become kind of status quo and, you know, think that that's all that there is to life. And it's not, you know, life is what you make it. And, you know, I plan on making a lot of life in my next, you know, years to come, my next decades to come, and to just grow as a person and to help others grow and to help this earth, you know, and to just live into the elements of the earth and live into the elements of this world and not concentrate on the negative stuff and, you know, that the stuff that you can't control, the stuff that you have no, you know, control over, and that, you know, television tries to suck you in, the news tries to suck you into things. And now, I mean, you can't believe anything that you hear out there, really. And like you said, you need to go within and listen to that still small voice that spirit is sending you, or, you know, that the creator is telling you. It has the answers. It knows. And it knows what you need to do. And, like, you know, and one of the ways it's telling you is for your body to react. Sometimes it takes something like that to, you know, make you react in this world and make you stop and think and, you know, search for those answers. You know, I searched for the answers. I've been searching for years for different answers. Didn't realize, you know, I finally found something that, you know, lights me up and that I can help others light up too. And that is my purpose on this earth, is to help light that fire in others.
I love that. So Kathy, how can people reach out to you if they would like to reach out to you and learn more, work with you?
Loveyourlifeinstitute.com is my website, so you can check that out. There is a page, contact page, you can fill in and send me, and I will contact you. And my email is loveyourlifeinstitute@gmail.com, so you can send me an email there, or you can even text me at 705-927-7762, and I would love to hear from you. Love to talk with you about, you know, what your goals and dreams are and what you want to do in this world, or even if you don't know what they are. I'd love to have a chat with you, and please contact me and, you know, we'll go from there. So just,
Thank you. So if you are watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, just check the show notes and all of Kathy's information will be right there for you at your fingertips. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you better and hear your story.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me and for listening and, you know, being able to share those moments.
So, soul stories, because every soul has a story. What story are you telling? You, it's your life. You get to tell any story you desire. So until next week, create for yourselves a great story because you can. I'm Lisa Warner. I am your host. I am the author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing, and you can find more about me at connectingyou.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, create a great story for yourself. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting You to You Radio. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Are you ready to discover more about how simple healing your body can actually be when you do it from the higher wisdom of your soul? To learn more about what I do and how you can work with me, visit connectingyoutoyou.com and get on my mailing list to be the first to know about my latest offerings. If you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, please join my group, Soul Sourced Healing. Check the show notes below for these links and more. I hope to see you again next time on Connecting You to You Radio.